Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, October 26, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Well, gold today was up most of the day, had a little weakness here in the last part of the trading session. You have gold just about down a few cents at 1164.30. You have silver was up most of the day, 0.04 at 1595. Platinum was down 5 at 999, and palladium was down 11 at $686. The USDX today was down 0.21 at 96.84. Crude oil down 72 at 43.88. And the paper markets today, they were all over the page, up and down. So they are down now for the close, 24 points, 17,622. The NASDAQ did manage to be up and stay above the 5,000 level, but it was only up 2 points, 5,034. The S&P was down 4, 2,071. 10-year yield today, 2.06, down 0.02. The euro, 110. Up 0.29, almost the same as the U.S. dollar was. European markets and Asian markets were pretty much unchanged overnight, just half a point at the most to the upside and a few corrections for London. So anyway, that's about it. I guess I think our biggest news over here, and you know, we'll have to see how it plays out. They got about one more week to go before... we'll see if they're going to raise the debt ceiling, the federal borrowing limit, or default. And Lou says that we have, L-E-W, Lou says we have until, I think, the 3rd. There's other reports out there that says we actually have until the 10th. And so we'll see if it creates any situations as far as... any interruptions to payments and so forth.
You know, it's like I wrote in an article that just published in this week's American Survival. The fact that they're borrowing money, and the fact that they must borrow money, is evidence that they're broke.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, A lot of people don't get that. It's kind of an obvious point, though. It doesn't mean they can't pay any of their debts, but they can't pay all of their debts. And that's why they have to borrow more money. They have to increase the national deficit, the national debt, excuse me, is evidence that the federal government is broke. Right? And the Republicans are arguing that, at least some of the Republicans, Tea Party members and the rest of it, are arguing that the government should learn to live within its means. And the government says, oh, to heck with that. Right? We've got to borrow money. And the reason, in my opinion, that they're borrowing the money is in order to create debt instruments. They have to go out and borrow money in order to create U.S. bonds. And then the banks can use those U.S. bonds as collateral. Now, those bonds are nothing but promises to pay. They're not payments. They have no tangible value. They are intangible promises to pay, as are all debt instruments. But by law, they can be used as bank collateral. And under fractional reserve banking, if you deposit $1 billion worth of U.S. bonds into a bank, the bank can lend 9 times the face value of those bonds. So if you deposit $100 billion worth of bonds, the bank can loan another $900 billion in theory to the public. I think this is the real reason why they want to go deeper and deeper into debt. We have a debt-based monetary system. And because it's debt-based, it's presumed that debt has a positive value, that debt can be collateral. Historically, that's just nonsense. Historically, if you wanted capital, you were talking about gold or silver, at least primarily, right? Now gold and silver aren't even in the mix as capital. The capital are primarily just promises to pay. That if you look at it, you understand, you look at it, and you consider the mathematics, the probability that these promises to pay are going to be kept are very low. They're almost certainly, most of them, in my estimation, 80-90% won't be paid. The promises won't be kept. So, in any case, from my perspective, the government wants and needs to go deeper into debt because we have a debt-based monetary system. If we had an asset-based monetary system where our money was still based on gold and silver, you'd be crazy to go into debt. But in a debt-based monetary system, ironically, surprisingly, the logic of the premises compel you to go ever deeper into debt. Going deeper into debt creates more wealth. We treat debt as wealth, in part because it can be used as collateral in the banks where they can lend up to 9 times the face value of their collateral. And the genius of this system, if you can call it that, is the idea that we can lend $9 for every $1 in debt instruments that are deposited into the bank vault. They're nothing but promises. That's all they are. I promise to pay. Scout's honor. Right? It's like me taking non-sufficient fund checks from someone and depositing them into my bank account, and the bank allowing me to write 9 times, I've got a non-sufficient fund check from someone, and the bank says, oh, that's great. You can use that promise to pay as collateral, and we will allow you to print 9 times the face value of the NSF check that you have in your account. We'll let you print up to 9 times that much in your own checks. If I had a $1,000 NSF check in my bank account, then I could write 9 times. $9,000 and checks of my own. The idea is absurd and ridiculous, irrational, dangerous, self-destructive, all kinds of things, all kinds of negative terms you can attach to it, but it parallels what's going on in our banking system right now. In order to have collateral, all you have to do is get a a promise to pay. That's all you need. Huh? I promise to pay $1,000. I promise to pay $100,000. I promise to pay a billion, a trillion, a quadrillion dollars. If the promises are made in the form of government bonds, it can be used as collateral.
Well, here's another promise to pay. Rutgers Camden, they announced plans to cover tuition for new students from low-income families. So they're redoing its financial aid system. So new students now from low-income families. But that's those families making $60,000 a year or less won't have to pay tuition. There will also be significant financial aid for students whose families have incomes from $60,000 to $100,000 under the Bridging the Gap program announced Monday. So the program is for students who graduated from high school and enroll in 2016. It will cover tuition and fees, which totals about $14,000 per academic year. Now, remember, this Rutgers Camden, I believe, is just an arm of the Maine University, I'm not sure, but on the other hand, they're still redoing its financial aid system. You know what? It's irritating is because taxpayers, guess what, gets to pay for it because the tuition and fees are coming from federal grants.
Well, there's one other thing about it also.
Federal grants don't have to be paid back. So we're, and it's just like
somebody has to pay it back at least in
the taxpayers. Yeah. Taxpayer pays it. It's like I'm tired of sending everybody's kids to college and school and everything else and their health care.
I agree. Let's not send them to college. We'll send them over to your house and they can sit around there for a while. How about that?
No, if kids go to college, I would think it's their responsibility and the parents' responsibility. You don't just throw them into college because there's no jobs out there for them. And that's mainly what it's all about, because there's no jobs for these kids. There's nothing for them to do. So, hey, let's give them some free tuition.
Well, it's one of those things. I mean, I understand, from my perspective, the problem you have is that by subsidizing college educations, college educations have become extraordinarily expensive. The universities have profited, the professors have profited, the administrators have profited. They're all making more money. Right? Why? Because government has decided to subsidize educations. It's not as if they said, well, we started the subsidies when a college education, let's say it cost $10,000 a year, and we would subsidize, but the price would remain at $10,000. Right? Well, that's not such a bad thing, but when you subsidize and the price of the education goes up to $20,000 a year or $50,000 a year, which it is in some schools, I mean, who is really benefiting from the subsidy? The money is going from the government to the kids and ending up in the hands of the universities and or the professors and administrators and so on. Now, we can ask ourselves, who is this money really benefiting? Is it benefiting the kids? Or is it just making it possible for them to pay exorbitant wages, or what maybe some would consider exorbitant wages, to the professors and administrators in the university, whatever they have to fund at the university? It's one of those things where you look at it and you can't help but wonder, wait a second, is this a good idea, a bad idea? You know, on the face of it, like much of what government does, at first glance, most of it sounds like, you know, something like a good idea. So,
really?
A lot of it sounds that way when you first hear about it. And yet it almost always turns out to be a mess.
More than half of the full-time freshmen at Rutgers will qualify next year. And pretty much all they have to do is show up. I mean, there's no, hey, in order to get this free tuition, I mean, you have to keep a certain grade average or so. Oh, no requirements there. You just have to show up. Just show up. Show that you have an interest in going to college. And it's like, well, you know, and I mean, this, let me finish. This isn't the first of the program. I mean, the University of Texas, El Paso, they have a similar program for students with family, but their incomes are under $30,000. So, I mean, it's just like, it's just, you know, again, the taxpayer is on the hook for kids who just go because they don't have anything else to do. They really don't have any interest in going to college except to party. And so it's, you know, it's a baby. It's another, you know, it's kind of like what do you, you know, send your little babies to, you know, kindergarten school, you know, after school program. You know, hey, you can graduate from high school. Then what are you going to do? Well, we don't have anything for you to do. So, you know, we'll just send you to school for free. Everything in this world is free.
Except for taxpayers.
Except for taxpayers.
Yes. How about we have free... We're going to have a free subsidy for your taxes, and it won't cost anything, and the government will pay your taxes. How about that, Melody?
I'm going to apply for a tax grant.
A tax grant. Good idea. That actually is a pretty good idea. Let's apply for a tax grant.
Yeah. You have to qualify, and so many people per year won't have to pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what else is new, Al?
I don't know. What have we got here? Here's something from the Japanese Ministry of Finance. Japanese Ministry of Finance seeks cuts in host nation spending for U.S. military. Japan's Ministry of Finance, this is from Reuters, Japan's Ministry of Finance on Monday called for cuts in the country's budget spending for U.S. forces stationed in Japan. They've been helping U.S. forces are stationed in Japan, supposedly to help with the defense of Japan, and Japan has been apparently helping to pay for the cost of putting those American soldiers there. But the Ministry of Finance says, nope, let's get done with that, and let's cut that down. And it says here, it's a move likely to meet opposition from its key ally, Washington. The move comes after passage of bills last month that aim to tighten the alliance and give Japanese military the biggest global role since World War II, with Washington seeking greater Asia-Pacific security in the face of rising China. Japan's contribution, or the sympathy budget, that's what the sympathy budget, to cover salaries for workers at U.S. bases, utilities, they don't have a verb in this sentence. In any case, the sympathy budget is intended to cover salaries for workers at the U.S. bases, utilities, and training expenses. It was 190 billion yen. That's what the government, that's what Japan was kicking back, which translates into $1.56 billion. This is for the current fiscal year versus 4.98 trillion yen. In other words, we could say 5 trillion yen. Overall defense outlay, 190 billion yen, that's what they have for the sympathy budget, is just 4% of the 5 trillion overall defense outlet, and they want to cut that because they don't want to be paying the gringos for sending troops over there or whatever to help defend Japan. Taking into account the expansion of Japan's role through the security this new security legislation, the yen weakening, and the severe fiscal situation, the expenses need to be reviewed and reduced, the finance ministry said. And all I'm reading this, the reason I'm bringing this to anyone's attention, is because this is simply another illustration of what can't be paid won't be paid. The government of Japan is going broke. It can't even, you know, this is like people arguing that we have to cut taxes and we have to cut police services. We can't afford police protection anymore, and we're going to have to cut that out because the city budget is too strained. You know, you can look at that and think to yourself, you know, this is not necessarily the smartest thing you can do. But we're going to cut police protection, and the Japanese are going to cut American military protection to a small degree. But still, it's evidence of the financial bind Japan is in, and it does not bode well for the world economy. It doesn't even bode well for the United States. It's just more evidence Japan's going to go broke. When it does, it's going to be a problem for the whole global economy, including that of the United States. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Financial obligations or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the 3Ws.thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
I just want to remind the listeners we got a few of those 90% silver bags left, $100 face value for $1,400. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. It's 90% silver quarters, $100 face value at $1,400. And we are certainly much, much lower than most of my major competitors. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and, of course, sign up for a weekly newsletter, and you can listen to the radio programs archived on a daily basis or live at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. And I had several requests, and I don't have the requirements right in front of me, so perhaps we'll bring it to the program tomorrow about one of the dealers that were closing down that was located in Minnesota. And I do have the laws. They asked me to talk about it, and we'll try to do that tomorrow. So make a note, Al. We want to talk about that tomorrow.
We have a program tomorrow? I thought tomorrow was a day off for me.
No, you always have a day off. Mm. These programs are a day off for you.
Uh-huh.
So
All right. I got an article from the Washington Times. House votes to gut Obamacare through budget process. The House of Representatives voted Friday to scrap Obamacare's most unpopular mandates and taxes, putting in motion a plan to dismantle the law through the budget process, despite Democratic derision and conservative-driven complaints that the bill doesn't go far enough. Lawmakers voted along party lines 240 to 189 to also defund Planned Parenthood for 1 year. They're sure getting tough on Planned Parenthood, aren't they?
Oh, yes.
We're going to defund them for 1 year. Why not 1 week?
Yeah.
We're going to cut your funding for a week. All right? As punishment for its controversial abortion practice, a part of the package that won praise from pro-life groups, even as the Conservative Heritage Foundation panned the legislation as woefully short of GOP promises to fully repeal the Affordable Care Act. Well, for me, again, I'm fixated on what can't be paid won't be paid. This is simply evidence that some people in the House of Representatives recognize that we can't continue to pay every bill that the government thinks would be fun to pay. They are beginning to, as in Japan, Japan can't afford to keep paying Americans, even a relatively small amount of money, to help defend Japan. The House of Representatives doesn't want to pay all of Obamacare. They're not going to take it down completely, at least according to this article, but they're going to whittle away at it. Death by a thousand cuts, perhaps. Maybe that's what we're going to see. But it illustrates another point. When government passes laws,
never gets repealed.
Well, that's one thing. But another one is a lot of them don't get funded. Right? If government wants to pass a new law and they say, okay, we need this particular law, okay. If they think that's what we need, I don't necessarily have an objection to it. There are certain laws that I'm not going to like and I'm not going to support. But the way the system works, if the Congress and the Senate vote for them, all right, I'm willing to go along with them, provided that they are fully funded. But the government doesn't do that. They come up with some brilliant idea or fanciful idea or crazy idea. And they enact it. And then they leave it up to the administration to raise the money somewhere, borrow it. I don't know, get somebody to lend us some money so we can fund our brilliant idea. And it's irresponsible for government to rely on deficit spending. It's irresponsible for government to come up and say, here's our new law. We really believe this is necessary, but we don't believe it's necessary to fund it.
There's very few laws that are probably necessary.
Well, I agree, but nevertheless, if they were really sincere about the need for most of these laws, they'd make sure they were fully funded, and they don't.
I don't think it's sincere in politics.
They leave Obama to borrow more money, and then we'll borrow and we'll go deeper into debt, deeper into debt.
I think sincere and politicians go together in the same sentence, except for just a few of them. But you know what? The GOP lied just as much as Obama did about this affordable health care. They just both lied in order to get into office, and now they're reneging on all their promises to the American people. And and that's why Trump is ahead, and that's why you have the ridiculous. I mean, when you really think about it, this whole election with 16 people want to be president when none of them have hardly a penny to their name in order to know they're not going to finish. They know they're not going to be the nominee of the party. So what are they doing?
I mean,
they certainly are not bringing any additional information. It's
like gamblers
just
in Las Vegas. They're just hoping to get lucky.
Lucky
Most of them lose, but still a couple of them get lucky, and that's what they're hoping for.
I mean, I don't know how much money you know, Bush has, but I mean,
he's
Trump,
about broke, according to some reports.
Well, his campaign, but how much is his family worth? You know, I don't know if he has as many billions of dollars behind him as Trump does, but Bush isn't going to use his own money. He's going to use other people's money. And I guarantee you, too, when Trump, when it's all said and done, he's not going to be spending a lot of his money either. He'll get reimbursed for a lot of it, one way or another.
If he spends any of his own money,
he will make deals.
It will be a surprise.
He will make deals with his corporations and other areas to recapture the money that he is spending on this campaign. So no, but anyway,
he's just gonna. I think he's gonna cut a deal with the Republican Party to hold the Republican convention. Instead of going to Las Vegas or wherever they have it planned, he's going to have it reversed to one of the Trump gambling casinos.
Well, whatever.
They'll have the Republican convention there, and he'll make so much money on all the Republican delegates gambling in his casino that he'll
his tactic is what he's using is the same that Charlie Sheen used. I'm a winner, and people. You know, my gosh, people followed Charlie Sheen around after his drunken binge like he was some sort of a, you know, some sort of a god. And he's using the same thing. Hey, we're winners. I can do this. And people buy it hook, line, and sinker. And it's like, all right. But the only one that I know that has said Planned Parenthood isn't just about defunding them. It's about making abortions illegal was
yeah.
Ben Carson. And that's what I said. What's the big deal about defunding plan? It's a start, but that's not the problem. The problem is abortions. That's what has to be addressed. No one is. Ben Carson, the only one.
Well, so far.
Well, you know.
Maybe Hillary will jump on that bandwagon before
anyway,
long.
Anyway,
what
what's next, Al?
Oh, I just want to correct you. You said that sincerity and politicians, those two words never go together. And they kind of do. There was a joke, Mickey Rooney, first one I heard from was Mickey Rooney. And he was talking about being an agent in Hollywood. And he said, the key to this job is sincerity. And once you learn how to fake that, you've got it made. Right. Which I always thought was hilarious. And the same thing with politicians. The key to their job is sincerity, and once they learn how to fake that, they've got it made, and that's what most of them are able to do. And they're a little bit bewildered right now by Trump, because it's evidence that people aren't buying the feigned sincerity of most of our politicians. You know, when you see what's happened with Trump and how it's adversely affected the other politicians that are up there, the ones that we could normally expect to be front runners, it's evidence that perhaps the internet is actually educating people on a political basis. And people are beginning to realize, oh my gosh, these guys are lying to us. And they've begun to realize, I mean, it's been common knowledge if you cared. I don't know how long we've understood that our politicians are lying to us, maybe forever. I don't know when it started. It's not exactly news. But somehow the public is reacting to it in a way that they hadn't in the past, so far as I'm able to understand. They are,
no,
in
what
some
it
regard,
is, Al.
Some people are just winking at it and saying we don't care if they're corrupt, but other people are saying, no, we do care. There's a schism here where a polarization where some people really do care. They're like, I'm going to vote for Trump. He's not lying to me.
Do you know what it is, Al? It's the herd mentality. If you can learn how to move that herd, you just, you know, I'm sorry.
Well,
I don't give that enough credit to the people of the, you know, I guess, I don't know if you want to call them Joe Sixpack or whatever. I mean, sure, there's a lot of people that understand what's up. There's a lot of people out there understand that they're not making ends meet, too. And they're tired of the lies. And they've been told repeatedly that the lies. But for them to actually go online and investigate how the politicians are fooling them and so forth, you're giving them way too much credit. It's the herd mentality. And these politicians, particularly Trump, know how to move it. He knows how to win. He knows how to motivate. And he's great at it. And that's what he's doing. he is getting to a position where he knows how to win a group of people into this, and it is. It's almost like, you know, a football game. You get the cheerleaders out there, and you get everybody cheering, and you get the whole stadium, you know, all going together, and it's not any different.
Yeah, but it is different in this regard.
No, because he's using... not winning based on, he's winning based on just a few of the things that get people, agitated. But the immigration problem has been around for a very long time. They bring up the immigration problem every time somebody wants to get elected.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I don't think anybody's brought it up to the same extent that Trump has. They talk about it and wring their hands. And say, oh, my gosh, what'll we do? All right, and in the end, they wind up doing nothing, or they wind up inviting more illegal immigrants to enter into this country. But Trump is saying, nope, it's wrong, it's going to be stopped. I'm going to do something to stop it. And he's treating us like adults. Whether he has the best solution, I don't know, remains to be seen, but he's at least saying, here's what I think should be done. And the rest of them are saying, what to do, this is a complex problem, we don't want to break up families, we've got to be sensitive about it. Trump says, screw all that, I'm throwing them out. A lot of people are just saying, yay. And insofar as Trump has figured out a way to move and manipulate people, that may be true. But still, the surprise is that Trump figured it out, and the people that are running for president, who are senators and congressmen and governors, they, whatever they've known in the past about motivating people and getting them to move in the direction that the politicians want them to move, whatever they have known in the past, that does not appear to be working in this election. Trump is not simply doing it. He's doing something different from what the other politicians have been used to for, I don't know, a few decades. And their usual strategy isn't working this time. And it's cause for concern. They're saying, what's going on here? I'm sincere. I appear to be sincere. I'm lying to these people. I'm telling them what they want to hear. And they're still voting for this idiot Trump. How can this be happening? It's not that politicians are getting worse necessarily.
But I think
that might be true. But that some of the public is getting smarter.
But I don't think they're getting smart. But I also think that Trump is promising them something too. Promising them, and trust me, I mean, I agree with things need to be done. But I'm just saying, you know, he's promising them, we build a border, we're going to do all this immigration problems, and it's going to make America great again. I think with the problems that this country has, I don't believe that by building a fence and addressing the immigration problems, that it's going to make it any better for the U.S. citizen out there. Because the problem, that's part of the problem. It isn't the main problem.
Oh, I agree with that.
People are going for it thinking that they're going to get something in return, and they're going to be...
I don't know that they think they're going to get something in return other than there'll be fewer illegal immigrants in this country. All right? They'll get that.
Well, if they didn't think they were going to get...
For jobs that are perhaps primarily taken by blacks right now, they're going to have more, they'll get more employment. Lower class whites are going to get more employment. Taxes, our tax liabilities to support illegal aliens coming into this country, that may be reduced, but I think the payoff, you can look at this, I don't think anyone is...
Because any of the savings...
financial payoff on this.
Because
I think
then,
the financial payoff is what the government looks for and the special interests look for. How can we make money and power off these illegal aliens? Screw the law, we're going to bring them in here because we've got an angle on how to make money. And Trump is saying, look, we're going to throw them out because it's the right thing to do. It's not about... Trump is treating this as if it's not a financial issue. He's sitting back and saying, look, it's the law. The people are here illegally. Get them out. It's that simple. And a lot of people are just saying, yeah, it is that simple. We don't need to wring our hands. We know what to do, all that. Let's just do something. All by itself. We may not make a buck. We may lose money throwing the illegal aliens out of this country. But still, some people are going to take some pride in the country and they're saying, you know, we're doing something. We're not just watching the whole thing fold up like an accordion. We're doing something. And even if it's one thing, it's not a big thing, but it's something. And we're going to do something. And we're going to, I don't know, that all by itself. that inspires a certain amount of confidence, a certain amount of pride, a certain amount of hope. When we sit here and just put up with this crap from the government, they won't even enforce the damn laws to protect the American people. And they won't do it. And it is discouraging, and it's the sort of thing that breaks people down, and they just say, you know, I don't know what to do. Here comes Trump. He says, I know what to do. Let's do something.
Huh? Hey, we're heading out. We're past break time, Al.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, whose fault is that, Melody? Huh?
Well, I have a pretty good idea.
Yours? All right, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, and we're going to take a break for some more commercials. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Got an article here from, I don't even know what it's from. I think it's the New York Times. Maybe the Washington Times. In any case, the headline is, New Way to Bet on Oil Wipes Out Billions in Investor Savings. And they start out with a story about a woman who lost her money. When Karen Robinson's husband died, she worried she wouldn't have enough money to raise her two young girls and save for retirement. Then she met a financial planner, Tom Parks, who told her about the investment partnerships that would allow her to ride the boom of U.S. oil and gas production while receiving a steady stream of payments to help pay her bills. He showed me, this is Ms. Robinson, she says, he showed me this picture of the United States and said they were getting oil out of shale and energy was the way to go. Now, she's a high school teacher from Cranfield's Gap, Texas. She liked that Parks seemed so confident. I trusted him, she said. 2 years later, her partnerships had plunged in value. She invested money with somebody in some sort of a partnership with someone who was some entity that was ultimately producing shale oil. And 2 years later, her partnerships have plunged in value, and Robinson has lost more than half of the $202,000 she invested, according to a complaint filed with regulators against Parks and his firm, Ameriprise Financial Services. Parks did not return calls and emails. Ameriprise declined to comment. For years, brokers have been luring savers like Robinson into drilling partnerships with the promise of fat payouts. Now, with yields on safer investments like government bonds so puny, it wasn't a hard sell. And for me, that's the lesson in this story. Why did Ms. Robinson invest in shale oil? It's because the Federal Reserve has held the interest rate down between 0.25% for the past 9 years, or nearly 9 years. And we haven't been able to, can't put your money in. If you're interested about making a return on your savings, you can't just put it in a bank account because it doesn't pay anything. So what do you do? If you are concerned about retirement, you're concerned about making enough money to make ends meet, you're concerned about putting your kids through, your two girls through college, you take a chance, right? You engage in investment opportunities that are far more risky than you would otherwise engage in if the Federal Reserve and the federal government had mandated a reasonable rate of return on investment. So that's what we're looking at here. On the one hand, she's got some people that are perhaps hustled her into investing $202,000 in this shale oil in a shale oil partnership, and then lost half of her investment. Maybe she got caught by some hustlers. Maybe she just got caught by people who really believed in what they were selling, and they didn't anticipate that that the price of oil was going to drop from $115 a barrel to less to $45 a barrel in something like 18 months. And I don't think anyone did. So did she get caught by hustlers, or did she get caught by the government that said, let's hold interest rates down to stimulate the economy? They've stimulated the economy insofar as it, we can't make money depositing our savings in a bank account. So people are increasingly drawn to invest it in stocks. It holds the stock market up. And some people are increasingly drawn to invest in things like shale oil. One of the, in the past year, I'm reading from the article again, investors lost $20 billion in publicly traded drilling partnerships, or 8 of every $10 they invested. That figure does not include losses from $37 billion in bonds sold by the partnerships in the 5 years since 2010, many down by half in the last 12 months, or losses from bets on private partnerships that didn't trade publicly and are difficult to track. A plunge in the price of oil that few anticipated explains much of the loss. But if you were trying to preserve your capital, oil and gas producers were not for you. Right? This says Ethan Bellamy, a financial analyst at R.W. Baird. They were always higher risk investments. Well, this is another one of those. I look at this, I see a story about a woman who took a risk. She risked what she had because she couldn't make a return on her investment, a fair return, just out of savings accounts. She couldn't do that. So she took a shot at oil, gas producers, and it was a risky investment, although she didn't think so. She didn't understand that. This one guy is saying this, oh, gas and oil is always risky. All right? And it is. Why is it always risky? Because we're drilling a hole in the ground and betting on what we're going to find 1,000 feet down or 5,000 feet down or wherever. We're betting we're going to find something valuable and we're going to find lots of it. But nobody really knows what's down there. They do all kinds of tests, and they can increase the probability that they're going to find oil as compared to what might have been true 20 years ago or 50 years ago. I get that. But still, it's like going out in the backyard and digging for an asteroid that was made out of gold. You don't really know if there's a gold asteroid out in your backyard. You can dig for one if you want. You can spend all the money, bring in tractors and a backhoe and whatever, Caterpillar, and haul the dirt out while you dig for the gold meteorite in your backyard. But maybe that's not And you might find one. Who can say? Maybe there's one out there. But odds are you're going to lose your money. Well, this is one of the consequences. People are forced to take more risks because the Federal Reserve said, we're going to hold interest rates down. All right? And right, they're going to have another meeting this week, if I understand correctly, where they are going to consider, among other things, whether to raise interest rates again. Huh? If they do, it'll probably only go up by 0.25%. But if they don't, it's going to force more people to do risky things with their investments. Huh? And inevitably, some of those risks aren't going to pay off. They have a low interest rate. You can just about bet that one of the consequences of that low interest rate is that a lot of people, just because they invest in riskier things, the increased risk tells us they are going to lose some of their savings. And we're going to lose more savings with low interest rates than we are with higher interest rates. Higher interest rates, we can put our savings into something that is reasonably safe. Low interest rates, we got to take a chance. Huh? Well, from my perspective, the other lesson here is if you want to invest in pieces of paper, we harp on this on a regular basis, but that's what Ms. Robinson did, the woman who invested her $202,000 in this partnership. It could pay off. I'm not going to say it can't. But this isn't a formula for wealth preservation. It might be a formula for making a big profit, and it might also be a formula for suffering a significant loss. But if you're looking for wealth preservation, I don't believe you're looking for a piece of paper. I don't think you're looking for an agreement. I don't think you're looking for a promise to pay. You put your $200,000 in today, and I will see that you get rich a month from now, a year from now, whatever. Scout's honor, you can trust me, we're going to... Huh? This is another one of those stories that, to my mind, suggests maybe she would have been better off just to put her savings into something like gold. People complain about gold doesn't generate an interest rate. Well, neither do bank accounts. Bank accounts don't pay off anything. And the inherent dangers in bank accounts, and there are a number of them, they're not matched by gold. You know? So you can't look at this. This is a story. That's all it is. It's an anecdote. You can draw lessons from it if you care to, or you can ignore them not draw lessons from it. But it's still telling you something. The danger of the low interest rate that's been imposed by the Federal Reserve. It forces people to take greater risks. It's supporting the stock market, which is a comparatively risky investment compared to a savings account or a traditional savings account. In the same sense that Mrs. Robinson lost half of her investment in this oil partnership deal, we could see people that have gone into the relatively risky investments in the stock market, and they can also lose a big chunk of their investment if that stock market falls. And much of this, we assume the risk. Why? Because interest rates are next to nothing. So, Melody, do you have a lot of your personal wealth stored in a savings account that pays a percent or a percent and a half interest rate? Or
sure, Al.
Uh-huh. You don't. I was just checking.
The problem I see with this story, Al, is we've been conditioned over a period of time to expect immediate rewards. We expect large rewards. And a lot of that is all due to it is becoming harder and harder for people to to live, the retirements. I mean, we have the, you know, we've been conditioned to believe that we spend. We have these visions, and that's you know, thrown on the American people all the time, that they're going to retire, that they can be cruising around the world, and that they need all this wealth in order to retire. And it's sad that for $202,000, you can't retire comfortably anymore. Yeah. And truly, gold is the only item that will keep up with inflation. You know, so even if the rates were higher, you can still, in the system that we have, I mean, it's always at risk if it's sitting in there in a savings account. And I agree with you. I believe that, you know, something you could, you know, place your funds and diversify and so forth. But to me, it is sad that people have to experience this and they get caught up in the gambling. Because that's what it all comes down to. Wall Street investments is just a gambling casino. And they get caught up in the promises of wealth. And they realize their $202,000 probably won't get them through retirement. And, you know, because you hear all the time that it takes $1 million or more to retire. It's like, and people are strapped, and, you know, how can you make $1 million after you're 55 or 60 years old? And so it's you know, and it's the system, and it all goes back to, you know, this is the program that they're on. This is the program that was dealt the American people, the government, our finances, the Federal Reserve, the creation, the confiscation of our gold and silver, no accountability, and it goes through the years. And it does puzzle a lot of people. How can they just continue this system without, without it correcting itself?
Well, it's going to correct itself. But the problem is, why did we get into it in the first place? For example, get Social Security. Let's see a show of hands, everybody who's counting on Social Security to provide for your old age.
It's just
and some of you are, but the truth of the matter is the government has borrowed all of that money that was deposited into Social Security, and they've given them IOUs, promises to pay. And this is not part of the $18 trillion national debt that we talk about. So far as I'm able to understand, this is additional debt. And so, oh, you can trust us. We're the government. No, you can't. You're crazy if you trust the government. You know, you look, you do a little history, you read a little history, and you will see that governments routinely default on their debt. They go up, oh, we're the government. We can tax these people and raise all kinds of money and pay off all the debt. People lend and lend and lend. And the governments build up until they're finally so much in the hole, they finally have to declare bankruptcy or maybe a war. But it's not a new thing. It's a historical. You know, it's the old thing, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Governments around the world have been fooling people by going deeper and deeper into debt. They've been doing it for generations. And has anybody noticed a pattern here? I would be surprised. I can't say I'd be completely shocked. There will be some small countries that have paid off their debts. But I'll bet you that most of the governments in the world have routinely defaulted on their loans.
Well, sure they have.
Right? So what are we doing? Let's wake up, people. Let's not invest our money. Oh, we'll trust the government. We can trust them. No, you can't. You're crazy if you trust the government. You are as unbalanced as Mrs. Robinson was when she said, I'm going to trust this guy. He said we could invest in these oil shale partnerships and I could get rich. Well, he's a person. You know, he once, like I said, key to this business is sincerity, and once you learn how to fake that, you've got it knocked. The man she dealt with perhaps learned how to fake sincerity, as has Barack Obama and any of the congressmen and senators that you can find in the legislative branch. You got to start thinking for yourself, not trusting, not falling for sincerity. What is really going on? Not easily done. Tough thing, but you've got to take personal responsibility because you will be the one who is impoverished if you invest improperly. We are out of time, Melody.
Okay.
You didn't remind me, huh? We're going to have to take a break for some commercials and the start of the next program. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? But still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.